Loving Almighty Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy precious name. It is with grateful hearts that we dare to approach thy throne in the name and merit of thy dear Son. We seek thy blessing at this hour and every hour of our lives. We realize our undone condition and thy great mercies and truth and provision for us and all mankind. Dear Father, as we consider this subject of consecration, we seek thy blessing specially with Sister Christie and with Brother Freeman. As we consider these things together and lift our eyes and our hearts to the noble causes for which you have touched our hearts and our minds. As we refresh our views and renew our vows and our commitment, may we daily leave our lives at this throne of grace that you have provided. Help us to leave all the fleshly concerns and issues at thy loving care and provision, and help us to sacrifice this flesh and walk in Jesus' footsteps. May our hands and feet do thy bidding. Now, Father, we desire to have our minds lifted to things above this hour and seek that your spirit and will and instruction will be with each of us. To this end, Father, we continue to leave our lives in thy hands and seek thy blessing upon this hour and upon dear Christie as she memorializes these vows before you and before us. These things we ask and praise thee for in the blessed name and merit of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerry. We've really appreciated seeing the strong determination and love of the Lord here from Christie and her sincerity, and already many times we've seen her stand for the truth when it was very difficult to do so amongst friends. And so we just count it a real blessing to witness this ceremony, this baptism. So with that, we'll turn it over to Brother Freeman, and we'll leave it in the Lord's hands.
Dear brethren, it is a blessing, a great blessing, and a joy. We're going to witness the election process of the Almighty God, Jehovah. This is by invitation only. Hebrews 5:4. No man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. Hebrews 5:4, as I stated, and also Exodus 28:21 in the type.
No one can have a right to serve in this capacity of a priest unless he be anointed of the Holy Spirit. No one takes this step of consecration unless he or she has been called of God. They must be invited. In fact, our Lord in John 6:44 tells us that no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. The receiving of the holy anointing is our call to the Lord's service. A service of self-denial and suffering in the present time, but a service of glory and honor hereafter. We've had the baptismal talks yesterday, starting with Brother Ed, with Brother Jerry, with the lesson, but the baptismal discourse went on all day yesterday. Our Lord, at his first advent, fulfilled the law, paid the ransom price, and this opened to Israel the opportunity to fill up that which was left behind of the afflictions of Christ. However, only a few were of the proper heart condition to respond to this wonderful opportunity. John 1:11, he went to his own, and his own received him not. The Apostle Paul in Romans 11:5 states, even so then at the present time, even so then at this present time also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. In Romans 6:3-5, we had this mentioned on several occasions yesterday. In these three verses, the apostle deals with the subject of baptism as it applies to the church. In these three verses, he explains from various standpoints the true, the essential baptism without which no one can be considered a member of the body or church of Christ. While all who do receive this baptism are counted as members of the new creation. The apostle here also is addressing those who are already members of Christ. He says, know ye not that so many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ, that is, as members of his body, the church, are now counted as members of our Lord unto him as our head. What was the process by which you and I came into membership in Christ Jesus? The apostle answers the question in his next statement. So many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Accepting the apostle's statement, our membership in his body dated from the time that we were baptized into his death. But when and how were we baptized into the Lord's death? This took place at the moment when we made a full surrender of our wills to him, consecrating our all to follow and obey him even unto death. Our will represents the entire person and all that we possess. The will controls the body, the hands, the feet, the eyes, the mouth, and brain. And it also has control of the pocket, the bank account, the real estate. It controls our time, our talent, our influence. There is not a thing of value that you and I possess which does not properly come under the control of the will. And so, when we surrender our wills to the Lord, we give Him our all. And this burial of our human wills into the will of Christ is our death as human beings. In Colossians 3:3, ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. This death, this burial, is our baptism into His death. Henceforth, from the divine standpoint, we are not to count ourselves as having earthly aims, objects, and hopes, but as new creatures in Christ Jesus, Romans 8:9. Our Lord, as an example, made a complete consecration of Himself, a full sacrifice of all of His earthly interests, hopes, ambitions, and desires, that He might do the Father's will only. In this one particular scripture in Psalms 40 and chapter 7 and 8, chapter 40, verses 7 and 8, were repeated several times here from this podium yesterday. Also, Hebrews 10:7, which is the one that's related. Let's look at the symbolic picture of baptism. The Greek word, as you know, baptizo, signifies submergence, covering, burying, overwhelming. When we come to consider immersion, here we see a fitting illustration of all that is implied in the real baptism unto death. The whole procedure connected with one immersion backward into the water in the name of Christ is a most striking picture of a burial, fitting in every particular. The administrator and the symbol represents our Lord. As the candidate, as our dear sister here, Sister Christie, goes to Him, so we in our hearts go to the Lord for baptism, confessing that we cannot of ourselves become dead to self and to the world. So we give ourselves into the hand of the Lord, asking Him to accept the will for the deed, and requesting that our wills being given up, He will bury us into His death, that He will cause such experiences, such disciplines, assistances, and chastisements as will best enable us to carry out our covenant of consecration. When the candidate has surrendered their wills, the administrator gently lets him down into the water, and while he is thus on his back, helpless in the water, Here he furnishes a complete illustration of our powerlessness to assist ourselves while in death. And as the administrator raises him up to his feet again, we see in this picture just what our Lord promised to you and I, to raise us up from the dead in due time by his own power. So it is evident to us from the fitness of this symbol that its author was the Lord. Who else, dear brethren, could have arranged so complete a picture or symbol of this entire matter? Whoever has already performed the real baptism, and this is what Sister Christie has already evidently, as we taught, has, which she came up in the court, and she has moved through the court up to the laver, up to the holy, to that door. So she has already taken the step. One has to be justified before they can take this step. They have to be made right. So whoever has already performed the real baptism, whoever has already given him or herself up into the hands of Christ to become dead with him, buried in the likeness of his death, and then sees the beauty of this symbolic picture, we believe must feel an intense desire to fulfill it in his or her own case. And the language of our hearts should be, must surely be, I delight to do thy will, O God. And this is what Sister Christie and I talked. She would never want to change it in any other way this morning. Words to that effect. We're looking at an article in reprint 54:18. It's 1914 article Brother Russell wrote, Begetting is the Transforming Power. The begetting of the Holy Spirit in the case of each individual Christian is the transforming power by which he or she passes from the human nature to the new nature. This transfer is beautifully pictured in the tabernacle types by the priest passing from the court into the holy. The court represents, as you know, in the present time, the earthly condition of those who are approaching God, but have not yet made a full consecration of their lives to him and his service. Our dear sister has already taken that step. When the step of consecration is taken, Jesus, acting as our great high priest, imputes his merit to cover our deficiencies of the flesh, and forthwith presents us to the Father. And our consecration of the earthly nation is thus made acceptable. And in the divine reckoning, we are from that moment dead according to the flesh, but alive according to the Spirit. We have been begotten again, not with the corruptible seed, but by the Spirit of God. All thus begotten are in the holy, in their relationship to the Almighty God. That is to say, they are children of God, heirs of God. Thereafter, they have the enlightenment of the truth as represented by the golden lampstand with the seven burners, the spiritual food as represented in the table of showbread, and the privileges of worship and prayer as represented in the incense altar. In the new order of things, after the establishment of Messiah's kingdom, this distinction between the church proper, John heirs with Christ, and the larger company of antitypical Levites will be perpetual. And the services of the two will be different. The former, the church proper, will be a priesthood corresponding to that of Melchizedek, a priest upon his throne. The work of the great company will correspond more to that accomplished by the Levites in the court, namely teaching the people, etc., as servants of the priest from whom they will receive their directions. For one who has taken this step, as our dear sister here has, that means that we have given up restitution rights. In the type in Deuteronomy 18, verses 1 and 2, the Levitical priest, the whole tribe of Levi, shall have no portion or inheritance with Israel. And they shall have no inheritance among their countrymen. The Lord is their inheritance, as he has promised them. Our Lord in Matthew 19:21. Jesus, I'm not put the context, you'll have to read. Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you shall have treasure in heaven. And then come and follow me." In Luke 14:33, "No one of you can be my disciple who does not give up his own possessions." We might want to take inventory this morning, dear brethren. This is not just for Christie. This is renewing. This is for Freeman Thompson also. I discussed counting the cost. In Luke 14:28, for one who has taken this step, they must have counted the cost. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether we have sufficient to finish it." In Luke 9, verses 61 and 62, "And another also said, Lord, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house." And what was Jesus' response? "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of heaven." No one who has put their hand to the plow and looks back is not worthy of the kingdom of heaven. Consecration is a very serious undertaking. But you know what? We have the promise that our Lord said he would never leave you nor ever forsake you. He's in the yoke with you, Sister Christy. Psalms 40:8, as we've talked about a couple of times already here, yesterday, quite a number of times. "I delight to do thy will, O my God," when we are consecrated. This is a necessity. "I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart." Psalms 50:5, there has to be sacrifice. The writer tells us, "Gather my saints together unto me." those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the writer in Proverbs, chapter 23, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 4:23. The writer tells us, keep thine heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Keeping the heart is going to determine whether we live or whether we die everlasting. It also will decide whether we are in the priesthood of Melchizedek, the church, the ones who will be, that we read on Revelation 14:1. It's 144,000. No more, no less. When one comes in, brethren, what does that mean? One goes out. The body is never minus one of the 144,000. There's always, when one comes in, one, when one goes out, one comes in. They're waiting. There are only 144,000 crowns available. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Here our Lord tells us, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. No cross, no crown. As we stated earlier, it's by invitation only. No man taketh this honor unto himself. And let's look at a few scriptures here. Call to consecration in Matthew 11:28-29. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. And the promise is that he will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We have to study in order to learn. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Romans 12:1. After one has been made right, the Apostle Paul tells us, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, referring to brethren, one who have already consecrated, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In Ephesians 4:4, There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. We heard this mentioned from the podium yesterday. Discipline in some of the responses to Brother Leslie's the lesson that he presented yesterday. There must be discipline in consecration. In Romans 8:13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Again, but I buffet my body and make it my slave, lest possibly, after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. First Corinthians 11:31. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. In James 1:26, discipline and consecration is what we are speaking about here. If anyone thinks himself to be religious and yet does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. There are certain experiences that one who has made a consecration must expect. And we can remember again, he will never leave you nor forsake you. In John 15:18, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. These are the words of our Lord. Is a servant above his master? No, brother. In John 17:14, our Lord again, speaking to those who have made a consecration, I have given them my word, thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Experiences to be expected for one who is consecrated. In Acts 14:22, it is through many tribulations that one enters the kingdom of heaven. Second Timothy 3:12. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. The way is hard, dear brethren, that leads to life, and that's why few there be that find it. But there are joys of consecration. In Mark 10:29-30. Here our Lord said, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he shall receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecutions, as in the age to come, eternal life." That's a promise. And remember, we like to use this 1 Kings 8:56. And when God makes a promise, he doesn't break it. Of all the good promises that God made to Israel, how many did he break? Not one. Isaiah 55:11, he also tells us that his word shall not return unto him void, but shall accomplish that whereto it was sent. God cannot lie, and he does not lie. These are precious promises. In Hebrews 12:2, some of the joys of consecration. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, what did he do? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and the reward, he has set down at the right hand of the throne of God, which is what we have been promised. Also, think about that. You and I, brethren, of the billions that are in the world, have been blessed with this invitation to reign with our Lord. In fulfillment of the promise that was made to Abraham, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You have been extended this invitation. What a blessing. Consecration has rewards. In Matthew 5:21, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. Enter into the joy of your master." James 1:12. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial. For once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. God does not break promises. 1 John 3:2, some of the rewards of consecration. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is, not as he was. Revelation 2:10. Be thou faithful until death.
and I will give you the crown of life. Be thou faithful unto death, and you will be given the crown of life. When once the term of the soldier, when you enlisted, when I was in the military, I enlisted for 3 years. This is totally different. This is for life. But this is a reward for consecration. Again, there's a liability for those who are fully consecrated. We are the only ones at this particular point in time that are subject to the second death. That's a liability. But the point is, again, He will never leave you nor forsake you, and He's in the yoke with you. If we were inviting someone, we'd make it as easy as possible, but our Lord has already told us that the way would be hard. But the reward is so great. Matthew 12:32. Whoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whoever shall speak against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him either in this age or in the age to come. So we have a tremendous responsibility here. But you and I have been provided with that which is necessary to make our calling and election sure. This consecration has been accepted. The Lord knew that she could make, our dear sister here could make her consecration. He will not give anyone this opportunity unless he knew that they could make it. So we've been blessed with this opportunity to reign with Christ. All we have to do, brethren, is to avail ourselves to that which He has provided. And now our dear sister here has access to the throne of grace, and she can come boldly and ask for mercy and for grace to help. How often? In every time of need. By coming into the Holy, she has this privilege now. She also was presented with a robe, a white robe. And we, each one of us here, has a responsibility to keep it clean. That's why we go daily to the throne of grace and ask for mercy, for grace to help in every time of need. There's no excuse for us not making our calling and election sure. Sister Christy, I have to go often. I make mistakes. You're going to make mistakes. But that's the beautiful part about it. Immediately, go to the throne of grace. Keep it clean. That's all it's at. We fall far short. We make mistakes. But that's why we've been provided with this covering and with the access to that throne of grace. Utilize that which has been given to you. The only way at this particular point in time, during this gospel of dispensation, is through Christ. There is no other way. But we know eventually you will be blessed with the opportunity to help the rest of mankind. We know at this time, you and I, we, the ones here in this room and those who have been fully consecrated, they just got up a little bit early in the morning. We've been blessed with the eyes to see and the ears to hear. But the world, to them, it has not been given. Blessed are your eyes, for you see, and your ears, for you hear. Again, as we stated earlier, it's by invitation only. Many are called. Few are chosen. As we stated again, as we conclude here, it is through much tribulation that one enters the kingdom of heaven. But he tells us if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. 2 Timothy 2:12, Romans 8:17. As I stated earlier, it's a difficult path. It's quite an undertaking. In Matthew 7:14, the way is hard that leads to life, but those who find it are few. Cross-bearing, we mentioned. Study. In 2 Timothy 2:15, to show thyself approved, a workman who need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. You've counted the cost. You've been given some very precious promises. And we will conclude that with Second Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 10. And we know the context. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, beginning at verse 4. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. At this time, we would like to Sister Christy, would you stand, please? At this time, have you repented of sin with such restitution as you are able? And are you trusting in the merit of Christ's sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins and the basis of your justification?
Have you made a full consecration of yourself with all the powers that you possess, your talent, your money, your time, your influence, all to the Lord, to be used faithfully in His service, even unto death? On the basis of these confessions, we acknowledge you as a member of the household of faith and give to you, as such, the right hand of fellowship, not in the name of any sect or party or creed, but in the name of the Redeemer, our glorified Lord, and His faithful followers.
Thank you very much. Well, while the candidate proceeds down to the pool, we'll sing hymn number 192. 192.
Oh. By this authority, I baptize thee in symbol into Christ.
Third verse.
Our most kind and loving Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the blessings that we have received today. We're thankful for our dear sister, Christy. We're thankful for the eye to see, the ear to hear, and for this opportunity and privilege to witness the election process. We ask our continued blessings upon our fellowship and upon those of like precious faith the world over. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.